There is nothing perfect. See, the promised land was not perfect. It was just promised. But when they went to the promised land, there was some stuff wrong over there. There were big old 9-foot giants in the promised land. And this was the land that God had promised them. But when they went there, they could not see the promise. All they saw was the problem. Welcome to Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the Word. And today is the third part of a four-part series called Why We Don't Get the Promises of God. Part one, which was message number 5468, one reason we don't get the promises of God is simply because of God's mercy. That oftentimes when God has promised us some destruction and some rough stuff in our life, he grants us mercy. And one of the reasons we don't get many of the negative or destructive things is because we have a God who is so full of grace and mercy. Part two, message number 5469, of why we don't get the promises of God, it's simply oftentimes it wasn't God who promised it. It was some other folk and some other stuff, but it wasn't really God who promised it in the first place. And today we're going to be studying from the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter. I begin at the 34th verse. You don't have to turn there. And it reads, after the number of the days in which he searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And this 34th verse of the 14 chapters of Numbers is actually, it is the first use in the King James Version of the word promise. And oftentimes there is a what's called in some theocratical circles, the law of first mention, that whenever God does a principle or uses a word for the first time, it is significant in its first mention or first use. And here he says, and ye shall know my breach of promise. It's in your King James Version. And ye shall know my breach of promise, because what God was referring to was actually the first mention of the word promised with an ED on the end of it. And that is in the book of Exodus. It's in chapter number 24 and I believe verse 25. But basically it says, Exodus 12, 25. And I want you to just turn there so you can read that. Basically, Exodus 12, 25 says, and it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. That's the first mention of the word promised. But the first mention of the word promise, actually, he says, ye shall know my breach of promise. And God told the children of Israel, fundamentally, these are the chosen, the favorite children of Israel. He said, basically, because ye have slandered the land, he said, all of you are going to die of plague and you're going to die in the wilderness. You'll never set foot in that land that I have promised you back then. And you're going to know my breach of promise. The third reason as to why we often don't get the promises of God is because we fail to meet the conditions and we void the promise. You know, God says, you shall know my breach of promise. And in the old days, it used to be when a man had asked a woman to marry him, and later on he got cold feet, and they've already sent out invitations. And for, it was called breach of promise. I'm very familiar with breach of promise because I had that situation myself a long time ago before I met First Lady Simone. I had that situation. I had sent out invitations. So I had to study up on exactly what is required when you got breach of promise. But people, I'll tell you this, it's better for you to breach your promise before you get to the altar than afterwards. If that thing isn't right, it's better for you to stop it before you get to the altar, because most of the time when you talk to most people who end up in a mess, they had some idea that something wasn't right when they were walking down the aisle. So it's better for you to breach the thing beforehand. And what I had to do was this. I was responsible for every penny that had been spent preparing for that wedding. And I had to pay every single dime of every penny that had been, because of breach of promise. I asked a promise to marry and changed my mind. Just simple as that. Just simple as that. And sometimes, people, you're going to change your mind. That's just up, but it's better for you to change your mind, because if you change your mind afterwards, it's called divorce. So it's better for you to change your mind beforehand than to change your mind afterwards. So God here says that, and ye shall know my breach of promise. Now, you see, the people brought back an evil report on the promised land. And God said, you have murmured, and the people complained the whole while. You have murmured, you have brought back this slanderous report on the land. He said, none of you are going to get what I really had promised you. Simply because of the way you talked about the thing, it makes you unworthy to even deserve it, and I am not even going to give it to you. You will not set foot in that land. You will die in the wilderness. And the people, when they went over to the promised land, there were giants in the land. The land was not perfect. And it's one thing that God had to make me understand. I have an office right now. It's a nice office. It's actually two offices, and one has an archway cut in it. One office is my executive portion. The other is where my computer, where I work most of the time. But when I was having the office constructed, the decorator, I have a very large mural on one of the walls. And the decorator and the gentleman who I had in charge of the construction came to me and they said, Mr. Bronner, do you realize when we were standing in your office, a rainbow came across the wall? I said, what do you mean a rainbow? He said, a rainbow just came across the whole wall. I said, a rainbow? I have narrow windows. There's no way. He said, look, I'm telling you, a rainbow came. I saw it and the decorator saw it. And when I went to inspect the wall, the decorator had put the mural up. But as I looked closely, some of the seams were misaligned and they weren't fully aligned properly. And I said, that's a little off. And she said, Mr. Brown, I'll go get another one. I'll tear this all down. I'll redo everything. And I heard God speak to me. He said, don't touch that wall. He said, first of all, I blessed the wall. I blessed your office and I blessed your business. He says, second of all, understand this very important principle. There is nothing perfect in the material world. There is nothing perfect in the material. See, the promised land was not perfect. It was just promised. But when they went to the promised land, there was some stuff wrong over there. The big old 9-foot giants in the promised land. And this was the land that God had promised them. But when they went there, they could not see the promise. All they saw was the problem. And people, with every promise, I can guarantee you is a problem. And sometimes that problem is huge. It's big. And God says, because you cannot see my promise, because you cannot trust my word, all you see is the problem, you're going to die in this wilderness. And sometimes we lose or never get what we are destined to have because all we can see is the problem. People, I'm going to tell you, see, it's like on earth as it is in heaven. That's why a third of the angels got cast out. They had some problems in heaven. They found some stuff in heaven that they didn't like. And God had to boot out one out of everything. And see, some of you all are talking about, well, if I can just get to heaven, there's going to be some stuff wrong in heaven. Because one out of three of the people had issues up in heaven itself. So if you think that just because you leave this body and go on to glory, that everything is going to be perfect. No, it's not. It's going to be some stuff. That was a war in heaven. It's going to be stuff everywhere you go, long as you live, whether you're in this flesh or in the spirit. And I learned the principle and I understood how God felt. And sometimes as a father, you see how God, we're going to eat after we leave church today. And for anyone who has children, now understand this, I'm paying for everything. My hard-earned money, hard-earned sweat, I'm paying. Kids ain't paid for a penny of anything. I'm paying for everything. And you tell the children, this is where we are going. And you all know what you start hearing. You all know what you start hearing. Now understand this, you're not paying, they're not paying for one red penny of anything. Not doing one bit of the driving. And what you will start hearing is, I don't want to go there. I want to go here. And then you got to turn in the other one. No, I don't want to go there. I want to go over here. I don't like that food. I want. And what you start hearing is the same thing God began to hear from the children of Israel. He called them the children of Israel, but these were grown, old, rusty men and women. But they were called the children of God. Because sometimes we act just like children. Yes. I don't want to go over to get where I want. I won't get him. And we act and murmur and complain when God has given us paradise. Yes. Last week, I was not in the pulpit because I took my entire company on a trip. And it's something that I try to do every year. And we left on Thursday early in the morning, stayed up Friday, Saturday, and we came back on Sunday. So that's why I was not in the pulpit. And I took everybody in the company. We went to Orlando, one of the nicest vacation spots in the country. For Thursday and Friday, I paid everyone full salary. And this was not part of their vacation days. So they were being paid full salary for Thursday and Friday. And yet on the trip, now understand, they're being paid full salary. And I told them, I said, look, I don't even want you all to have to even leave the tip. I'm going to pay for every single thing on this trip. So all you have to do is just enjoy yourself. And yet, you all say, and yet. Yes. And yet. I'm paying the folk to go enjoy themselves. You understand that? It just doesn't get any better than that. I'm paying the folk to go enjoy themselves. I'm paying for every mouth of food they eat. I'm paying for the bed they sleep on. I'm paying for everything. And still, you all saying still. See, I understand how God felt. I understand why God told those children of Israel, if you're going to complain and I've given you paradise, and all you can see are problems and murmur and fuss and cuss and complain, you'll die before I let you in this place. See, sometimes we wonder why we don't have the promises of God. I mean, and I heard complaints about the food, about where we went. I ain't paid for a dime of the stuff. I understood why God says, I cannot give some people some things. And if I give it to them, I'm going to have to take it away because they will not appreciate it. So I understood from the Father's perspective why we sometimes, even with paradise, even with paradise. That's why if you don't get some of your mentality straight, you won't even be happy in heaven itself. You can't even put a vacation package together, pay for everything, do everything. I hired a person so no one would even have to do any driving. All they had to do was just sit back and ride. And still, you all say, and still. So you're, and still complaining, murmuring, griping, mealy mouth, and belly aching. And still, I see why God cannot give some people some of the stuff he has promised. And if you can't make it in paradise, whoo, but I saw. So here God had taken the children of Israel. For 40 years, none of their clothes wore out. No one cast their young. No one got sick. God took them out of slavery. And actually, the trip from Egypt to the promised land shouldn't have taken them but 90 days. They should have been there in little of no time. The problem was the minute they start getting out, they went to complain. God said, wait a minute, hold up. Let me let you stay there a little bit longer. Hold up. To the end, God said, you shall now know my breach of promise. Because I can't even let you in this place. If you're going to bellyache, I can't even let you in it. People, until we learn how to appreciate that which we have, God will never be, not only will he never be able to grant us more stuff, he's going to end up taking what you got. So until we learn how to appreciate, and some of y'all got some good stuff. You really do. That's why God wanted me today to just have all of the people come down whose health is excellent. Now, when is the last? See, you don't appreciate excellent health until you get real sick. Then you get real sick, got 8 pounds. Ooh, Lord, help me. See, you have never just said, Lord, thank you for preserving my health and my strength. All we do is complain when something go wrong, but you never are thankful when stuff is going right. But ooh, we can holler to high heaven when it go. The minute we stomp out, we holler to high. But you never sometimes give thanks for all of the blessings that God has given us. We fail to meet conditions. And I told you that God spoke a word to me that shook me. I was in the fitness class. I was on the floor. We were doing some kind of exercise, and I was laying there on the floor. And I heard God speak to me. He said, when you build a new church, you're going to need to have a facility that has space enough to fit 500 people in this exercise class. Because the space that we have now, it's virtually packed. It's full, almost every class that we have. He said, you're going to have space to put 500 people in this exercise class. And I began to think, as I've thought about all of the prophets who have come here, and they have seen this, the next church you build is going to have to be multiples of this size. God has spoken to me, the next church has to be 4,200 seats. So I'm thinking about all this stuff, about all this big stuff God has promised. And I asked God a simple question that was simple to me. You all say it's simple to him. It was a simple question that is very simple to me. I asked God just a simple question. I said, Lord, you promised all this stuff. You sent it through your prophets. You've told me directly. I said, when is it coming? Does that not seem like a reasonable question to you? Have you all had some questions about God's promises and you've just asked that very simple question? Some of you have said, well, Lord, when is he coming? Yeah, have you ever had that simple question like that? Well, Lord, when is she coming? Yeah, and you've asked just a simple question of, Lord, when is it coming? But God spoke a word that shook me to my bones while I'm laying there on the floor. He simply said, when do you want it to come? Now, when he spoke that, it shook me. That's been over 3 weeks ago, and I still haven't answered the question. That's been over 3 weeks ago, and I still have not answered the question. He said, when do you want it to come? Because when he put it in that frame, I understood with all this stuff comes a serious responsibility. It's going to disrupt my normal, comfortable lifestyle dealing with all them folks. See, it's not going to be that's going to bring it and grow it. That's going to be the power of God. But I recognize when it happens, it's going to change a whole lot of stuff. So when God had to ask me the question, when do you want it to come? He said, and when you state that, it's going to cause the earth to move. I still haven't said anything. Some of you are just like me. There is a promise that God has waiting for you, but you don't really want it to come. Because you don't really want to do and change your life for what is required for you to get it and keep it. See, he just doesn't want to bring you something big for you to just get it and lose it. He wants you to be able to get it and keep it, but you don't want to change your life for you to be able to really get it and keep it. When do you want it to come? And I said, my goodness, the thing just shook me. See, we oftentimes, we want to put all our stuff on God. Lord, you done sent me, and really God will put it back. He'll ask you some questions. And in the question is a whole book. When do you want it to come? When are you willing to do what is necessary to sustain this thing? Still haven't answered it. God is waiting on many of you right now to answer the question. And see, I mean really answer it from the depths of your heart. Some of you know, I want a husband. Do you? Do you? I'm publishing a Mountain Wings issue tomorrow from a doctor who calls and states out the 5 primary needs of a husband and the 5 primary needs of a wife. Before you answer that question, you need to read Mountain Wings tomorrow. And you need to ask yourself, am I willing to do those 5 primary needs to keep the wife or to keep the husband before I ask God to send them? When do you want it to come? And I'm ashamed to say I have answered, and I'm not sure when I'm going to answer the question. To be perfect, but he said, when you answer the question, the earth will move. I've got to get steeled up, and because see, it shakes up the way my, number one, to be honest about it, I don't get any salary from the church, so a big church does not incite me by getting any more money. It just doesn't. So that doesn't excite me about that. That's just more work with no money. You understand what I mean? So now you got that many folk, everybody sees you. Even I'm a private kind of person in truth. When I'm out in public, people will see, but you get that many folk everywhere you go. Paderborn, Paderborn, Paderborn. You can't even eat a hamburger in peace. You understand what I'm saying? When do you want it to come? See, it's against my nature of what I am comfortable with. And where God wants to take you, there are some giants in that land that you're not used to dealing with, that you're not comfortable with. It's going to change some of your old patterns because you're not used to fighting giants. You're used to stepping on ants. So when God takes you into a new land, you have to begin. And see, if you're not ready, all you're going to do is complain about the thing. He's got to transform you. When do you want it to come? And I've got to go into some serious prayer, not with God, with me. It's not, see, what he asked me, it really has nothing to do with God. It's me. When we put all this stuff on God and the devil, no, that's you. So a heap of this stuff is you. You notice God, he didn't put any of this stuff on the devil. His breach of promise, he didn't put any of that on the devil. That's you. So I've got to go into prayer with me and answer the question, because he didn't ask the devil the question. He asked me, when do you want it to come? And you have to be able to take the responsibility when the thing comes. We all want the money, but are you willing to put the extra sacrifice in? Are you willing to turn off the TV and work during that time? Are you willing to complete school so you can get the... Are you willing to do what is required? That's the challenge that we have. breach of promise because the people hollered and complained and failed to do what was necessary. And it's a reason why so many of us don't have the promises of God. Are you willing to do what's necessary? When do you want it to come? Whatever it is God has promised you, when do you want it to come? And he said, whenever you make that decision, you're going to need to publicly declare it. And I tell you right now, people, I ain't ready right now. I ain't ready. I wish I could sit here. I have flaws in the flesh and spirit like everyone else. I'm not ready. I got to make some drastic changes and sacrifice to even make that public declaration. It sounds good as long as all the other prophets declare and as long as God speaks. I ain't going to do that, man. It's just going to happen. No, it's not just going to happen. Not going to happen until I declare it and I say, Lord, I'm ready. I will take that responsibility and handle it. Lord, send them in here. I'm going to deal with them. That's when he says the earth will move. And that's the same way it's going to be with so many of you. You're going to have to get off your behind. Make the declaration, be serious about being able to handle the responsibility, and then you're going to see some stuff change in the earth. You see some stuff change in your world, and you see the promises of God fulfilled in your life. We thank you for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because, brother, you need and I need the Word.
You are listening to AirJesus.com and TheOnlineWord.com. This was part 3 of 4 of Why You Don't Get the Promises of God by Nathaniel Brauner. This message is number 5470. That's 5470. To hear all 4 messages, click series on TheOnlineWord.com. To read the Mountain Wings issue referred to in this sermon, go to MountainWings.com and enter 10095 in the past issue search box. That's issue number 10095 at mountainwings.com. To send this message to a friend or to hear more sermons, go to theonlineword.com. Listen to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com often and keep your spirit charged up.